Welcome, everyone, to episode 157 of the NBA podcast. We are still in day one of free agency, and frankly, we didn't think we'd be recording this episode, but LeBron James has already made his decision. He is going to the Los Angeles Lakers. No surprise. The big surprise is that it's on a four-year, $154 million deal. So we're going to break down what that means for the Lakers, what that means for the rest of the league, what it means for the likelihood of a Kawhi Leonard trade, all of that and more. Before we get underway, please, just a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles to give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. We're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter at Almighty Casts. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's late or very early, depending on how you decide to look at it, Brian. It's almost 5 in the morning.
Yeah. So
there we go. And news are still ticking in. And you got to work the grind, right?
Right. This is the time of year where I feel so bad for any of the European basketball fans, because when shit like this happens and LeBron James announces his decision at 7:30 Central Time on a Sunday night, it just means none of you guys are going to get to sleep for a while. Like, pouring one out for our buddy Mark Deeks right now, who, after writing a 400,000-word manifesto earlier this week, or finishing it, Lord knows he's going to be pulling another all-nighter. So our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Let's not pour too much out for Mark, because at least he's 1 hour closer to you than I am.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, thoughts out go out to all of our European listeners out there. Thank you for sticking with us and pulling an all-nighter or checking us out early the next morning. So, Mort, let's get right into the big news of the day, obviously. LeBron James officially going to the Lakers. That shouldn't really come as any surprise. I mean, if you were, like, the tea leaves have been pointing in this direction for, frankly, for weeks now. I think the big surprise is that it's a four-year deal, and I believe I saw that it doesn't have an opt-out. It's a straight four-year max deal. So he's more or less committing the rest of his, whatever's left of his prime, and then he's going to be in the twilight of his career before he becomes a free agent again. He is committed to the Lakers. Are you surprised he locked in for that long?
And here I thought the big surprise was Denmark being basically thrown out of the World Cup. Shout out to Kasper Schmeichel, by the way.
Yes.
I have actually seen that there was an option, that there is an option on the fourth year. So we may have conflicting reports.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember.
But either way, even if there is, like, you still get 3 guaranteed years out of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's still longer than we anticipated. Like, LeBron has been doing the whole 1+1 for a long while. Like, this is commitment, absolutely. And it changes the perception of what the Lakers are going to do next year. Mm-hmm. We can talk about LeBron assembling his squad right now. Like, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope signed another one-year deal with the Lakers worth $12
million. Mm-hmm.
That's no coincidence that it's a one-year deal. Because it allows the Lakers next year to go out on the free agency market. Like, maybe Kawhi Leonard is available next season. You know, he might be, if he's not getting traded to the Lakers this summer.
Right.
So they keep themselves, cap flexible for 2019, which is pretty mm-hmm. interesting. And they know that they have LeBron in hand, so to speak, which has to be such a huge argument, really, for negotiating with potential free agents.
Right. It's like what we were discussing. I mean, this is the same discussion we had about Paul George last night, and how now the Lakers can go ahead and, when they're pursuing free agents, those free agents can come and sign 2-, 3-, 4-year deals with the knowledge that LeBron James will be there, rather than living with, if he was on a 1+1, you're living with the uncertainty of what's going to happen next summer. Am I committing a 4-year deal to a franchise that's going to go, I don't know if they're going to be championship contenders, but, playoff contention, top 4 seed, back down to a potential lottery team if and when LeBron leaves. Now, you don't have to worry about that as much, so it's a much easier pitch for Magic Johnson and company to go out and sign these guys. And you're right. I mean, the one-year deal, I don't think we're going to see a single Lakers player sign more than a one-year deal after LeBron. Like, I think they are going to clear their cap out for next summer because, as you said, Kawhi Leonard, if they don't trade for him this year, is going to be a free agent next year. Reports after LeBron signed, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN quickly reported that trade talks have basically stalled between the Spurs and the Lakers, but he's made it very clear he still wants to go to LA. I mean, it seems like a Paul George situation could happen where, you know, Boston trades for him or Philly trades for him and convinces him to re-sign. But right now we have to operate under the assumption that Kawhi Leonard is going to sign with the Lakers in 2019. So you have to work with that framework in mind and realize, like, you know, they overpaid KCP again on this one-year deal, which is fine. Like, they had no way to replace what he could provide, I guess. And, you know, we haven't heard what's going to happen with Brook Lopez, but in all likelihood, they're going to re-sign him. They have his non-bird rights, so they can sign him to a contract that's worth 120% at most of what he earned last year. He earned $22 million last year, so they could give him, I mean, they could really overpay him if they want, but they're all, you know, most likely going to find terms that keep him around on a one-year deal. It's going to look, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it pushes eight figures, but in all likelihood, they're going to keep him around. You got to figure they're going to re-sign Julius Randle, and they also apparently have agreed to terms to Lance Stephenson, which is just hilarious for so many different reasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did not see that one coming. No. Like, if someone on Twitter had said LeBron is going to sign with the Lakers and a couple hours later Lance Stephenson is going to join him, you know, everyone would have called him an asshole because...
Right. Yeah, I would have believed one of those two things. But yeah, well, it's like LeBron James' chief antagonist is now going to be his teammate, which is hilarious. And you got to wonder how Paul George feels about that, especially... You know, it seems like there's still some loyalty between George and Stephenson. So I can imagine George is none too pleased right now with what's transpired over the past 6 hours or so. We had this conversation weeks ago when we were discussing the free agent landing spots and all of his potential options. But now that we're starting to see this Lakers team come together again, let's assume they re-sign everyone from last year, plus LeBron, plus Lance Stephenson. I think at that point, if they have any cap space, it's going to be negligible because they're using the room exception on Lance, it seems. So they're most likely going to be limited to veteran minimum exceptions. So there was a report earlier that Nerlens Noel is considering them. He's also a Clutch Sports he's represented by Clutch Sports, just like LeBron and KCP. So he's considering them, the Thunder, and the Wizards, and the Pelicans are trying to swoop in as well, which is interesting. Could be a Boogie backup plan, but basically Boogie, it seems like that's not going to happen in the Lakers now. They just don't have the cap space for him. So where do you see this Lakers team stacking up, assuming they do not trade for Kawhi Leonard? How do you see them matching up in the West? Like, where... What, you know, they're not the Warriors, obviously, but are they in that next tier with Houston, Utah, Oklahoma City, Denver? Or are they...
Is that assuming they get Nerlens?
Either way. I mean, I don't think Nerlens moves the needle that much for them.
Maybe not that much, but I do believe that Noel has the overall grasp of game that could move the needle. Like, he's a great defensive player when he's motivated.
Yeah,
and he did show some potential as an offensive player, and if he comes in with the right mindset, then he could become a difference maker. But yeah, they're in that next tier. They're not on the Golden State tier. I will say this: I don't think we should be so quick to point at Houston and go, "Oh, they're still in the Golden State tier."
I agree.
Losing Trevor Ariza was just so huge. So maybe you have Golden State at number one, and then you have like 2A and 2B, which is Houston and LA.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that Houston now fall, like, they were right. They were in their own tier with Golden State. They now fall back to the pack because Ariza is a big loss. We don't know what's going to happen with Luke Mbamute either. He still has not signed anywhere, but like someone could try to steal him away with a taxpayer mid-level exception. I forget who suggested it. Someone came up with a diabolical idea. I think it was James Herbert of CBS Sports, and I apologize if I'm misattributing it, but someone came up with the idea of the Warriors should go after him with the taxpayer MLE, which is both brilliant and evil. Because, you know, you get better and your chief rival gets worse, or your chief threat gets worse, I should say.
Which is the entire point.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, now Clint Capella, you have to assume he's going back to the Rockets, whether it's on a long-term deal or one-year qualifying offer, because he has no leverage now. I guess Atlanta could make a play for him, but the Lakers were one of the few spots now that Dallas has a center. The Lakers are one of the few spots he could milk for leverage. Yeah, I mean, I DM'd you earlier today, and I was so ready to test out this hot take. And I still think there's a world in which it's true, but probably not. Now, you know, I'm assuming the Lakers are going to get some pretty good ring chasers.
Yeah, you were very ambitious.
I'm not saying it would have happened or it's going to happen. But I do think there's a world if OKC can convince Carmelo to come off the bench. And I understand that is a gigantic hypothetical, because at the end of the season last year, he said he's not going to do it. For all we know, they're going to waive him just to get out. I think it's like an $80 million savings, basically, when you factor in luxury tax payments, too. So they might just buy him out. But if they could get him to come off the bench and agree to fill that role, and you put Jeremy Grant in the starting lineup, I don't think it's totally impossible that OKC was the second best team in the West before this LeBron signing. I still think they're going to be in that top four range, but now, like, suddenly that top four tier is getting pretty crowded with Houston, the Lakers, OKC. I'd throw Denver in there. I'd throw Utah in there. You know, that's five teams.
San Antonio?
Teams. Yeah. I mean, you have to
depending
assume,
on what happens.
Right. You got to – they're going to – I guess Stephen A. Smith just reported that if the Spurs don't trade Kawhi, he may be willing to sit out the entire season. So
– yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that for 1 second. He's just missed an entire year. That would be career suicide. I don't believe that for one bloody second.
Yeah, and you got to figure they'll make a trade between now and the start of the season. So either way, they'll get – players, picks, prospects back. So, yeah, I mean, the Spurs, you're right. They'll be right in there, too. So that's like, we've already got the whole effing West playoff bracket filled out. We haven't even mentioned Memphis, Portland, New Orleans, Dallas, maybe, the Clippers, maybe. Like, we said it last night. The West is going to be, we thought the West was a bloodbath last year. It just got so much worse.
And is this where I should reiterate what I mentioned earlier about the Western Conference also getting the best three draft picks?
Yep.
I mean, look, this we are looking at a potential problem here if we don't fix how the whole league is put together. Playoff seeding should just be 1-16. Doesn't matter with which conference. I mean, clearly the Eastern Conference now is, to borrow a term here, light years behind from the Western Conference, and the balance is just so overpowering in favor of the West. Look, the Chicago Bulls could make the playoffs this season. This is where we're at.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next point, is like the Lakers are obviously the big winners of the night. But the other big winners of the night are every other Eastern Conference team that no longer has to run into LeBron James, who has made 8 straight finals, who has knocked every single potential threat to him out for nearly a decade.
Oh, the Raptors, they must feel so much more confident rolling back that same roster now.
But, like, do they feel bad about firing Dwayne Casey now?
They probably should, yeah. They probably should.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this was why that was just such a weird thing to me. Because they knew, like, everyone knew LeBron was probably going to leave by then. Why not just wait it out and have your, you know, your ghost of Christmas present just not be there anymore?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if if you're the Raptors and you just said, like, we can't run back the same core again because Boston is still looming, Philly's on the rise, Indiana could be on the rise, Milwaukee with competent leadership could be on the rise, like, I guess there's still the point where you need to shake it up just for the sense of trying something fresh. But yeah, I mean, like, the Raptors should be feeling pretty damn good about themselves right now. They have a real chance to get to not only, I mean, not the finals are probably a stretch, but they have a chance to get to the conference finals at least. And that, like, that's the thing with the Celtics. Like, if you're out there, go put money on the Celtics making it to the finals. There is no more stone cold lock in the league. I would bet more money on the Celtics making the finals than I would the Warriors making the finals right now.
Yep, me too. Me too.
And it's, you know, absolutely. It's no disrespect to the Warriors, who are obviously the best team in the league, three-time champion in the last 4 years. But again, look at what they have to get through to get to the finals. Like, every round of the Western Conference playoffs is going to be a bloodbath. Whereas, as you said, the Celtics might be able to draw the Chicago Bulls in the first round. Or, like, you know, because the Cavs are dead. The Knicks are going to be dead. Because, you know, Kristaps is probably going to miss most, if not all, of the season. I like, you know, the Hornets, one's going to assume they're going to start blowing their team up. The Hawks aren't going to be competitive this year. The Magic are not going to be competitive this year. Like, that's five teams already. They aren't even trying to win. So, like,
oh, Brian, we have a signing.
Oh, do we? Oh, I think I just saw it too.
Yeah, Elfrid Payton is going to the Pelicans.
Oh, does that mean Rondo's gone?
It might.
That's interesting.
I mean, and then you replace Rondo with another, like, all around guy who can't shoot.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Like, their statistics.
Wow, yeah. Well, that's just two former Sixers right next to each other in Drew Holiday and Elfrid Payton. Yeah. Elfrid Payton being a former Sixer for like 10 minutes, but
still counts.
Wow, interesting. Huh. Well, there you go. The West gets even stronger, I guess.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Well, anyway, back to the East. Yeah, I mean, the Celtics should be elated right now just because they got rid of their chief threat. They're all but certain to go to the finals. The Sixers, I think, there's obviously, you're bummed because you had the meeting with LeBron and it turned out to just be a bullshit meeting. Like, he had his mind made up days, if not weeks ago. So, on one hand, you're happy to have gotten the meeting for optics' sake, and now next year you can at least, like, you know, you're going to have a max spot. You're going to be able to say, whatever, LeBron took our meeting, so you have to take our meeting too. I guess that's the logic behind the optics argument, at least. But obviously you would like to have signed LeBron. I guess it's better that he, if he wasn't going to sign with you, it's better that he went to the Lakers and went back to the Cavaliers, because now, like the Celtics, the Sixers have a very clear path to the conference finals. You got the Raptors are their one major threat, and again, you can make an argument for the Pacers, the Bucks, the Wizards, but having to go through that versus going through LeBron in the second round, there's a clear choice, and the Sixers came out on the right side of it.
Yep, and I mean, this is actually pretty interesting when you look at it. We agree that the finals usually is just such a shit show compared to the Western Conference finals.
Right.
So, looking at how much the Golden State Warriors have to go through in the Western Conference now, like, are they going to be so tired when they make the finals that a team like Boston, who could somewhat easily, theoretically at least, breeze through the Eastern Conference Finals, meet up and have a competitive series because you're playing like a slow, tired Golden State team and then a somewhat fresh-minded Boston team? Like, would that make the whole thing a little bit more competitive?
I mean, I've been saying for months now that I think Boston not only would have a chance against the Warriors, but I think depending on what happens with each team filling out their bench, the Celtics, like, I would almost put them at even money right now against the Warriors. I think I understand the arguments against them, is that you can't necessarily bank on Tatum taking the leap that Jaylen Brown did last year. You can't bank on Jaylen Brown taking another major leap. We don't know what's going to happen with Marcus Smart. There's only one ball, and you're going to have a lot of guys, a lot of scorers like Kyrie and Hayward and Tatum and blah, blah, blah. But you also just have a lot of versatile, switchable wings. You have Al Horford, who can switch anything on defense, and you have Kyrie, who is gives you that go-to score, like crunch-time score, a guy who's proven he can hit the big shot against the Warriors in the finals. Like, I think he's probably one of those, like, just explosive scorers that the Warriors are genuinely afraid of, because he can give them a taste of their own medicine. Like, he can go off for 50 with no warning whatsoever. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right that that gives the Boston even more of an advantage, just the fact that they're most likely going to have a much easier time getting to the finals than the Warriors will. We just got another signing. JaVale McGee is going to the Los Angeles Lakers as well. No Nerlens.
Oh, yeah.
Soon to be three-time champion JaVale McGee is going to the Lakers. Wow.
That's actually a pretty significant loss for Golden State.
Yeah, he played really well in the finals.
He's been an advanced stats darling for his tenure at Golden State. Wow. Like a PER of over 20 every year.
Man.
On the bright side, though, you know what that means? More minutes for Jordan Bell.
That's true. Or Dwight Howard. That just cleared the way.
Ooh. I like your thinking. Yeah. I like your thinking. Yep.
Wow.
But now the ring chasers come, Brian.
Yeah, right. I guess Nerlens is probably out on the Lakers. I guess we'll see what happens with Brook Lopez. But again, it feels like
you have to resign. In regards to Nerlens, you know, I hear China is wonderful at this time of year.
He'll get one more shot. I mean, the idea of him on the Thunder actually is really fun, too. Like,
You really want to defense that team up. I get what you're trying to do, but, like, who do you want scoring the ball? Carmelo's not going to...
Russ is going to have a usage rate of 40 anyway. You might as well just lean into it. Just put a bunch of really good defenders around him.
A point guard who takes 27 pull-up long twos a game is going to be an efficient offensive weapon.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's efficient, but I'm saying, like, you know what's going to happen. So you can either try to fight it and put shooters around him that he's going to neglect, or you could let him take his 35 shots a game and just play such good defense that his inefficiency, you can counteract his inefficiency by having the league's best defense.
So basically, you want a repeat of the 2000-2001 Philadelphia 76ers.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good analogy. Well done.
Yeah.
Man. So, wow. JaVale McGee. So that's, really is interesting.
That's something that's happened.
Well, it's just interesting for the Warriors now, because we talked, I believe, last episode or two episodes ago about the prospective fit of Dwight Howard on the Warriors, and that sure does seem to clear the runway, unless we're going to get more Zaza, in which case I don't blame Kawhi for sitting out the entire 2018-19 season.
Ugh. But look, at this rate, we'll have a Dwight signing within the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, my God. These are really... I mean, we knew the dominoes were going to fall once LeBron did, and we were frankly surprised that as many names went off the board as quickly as they did last night. But prior to, you know, we had that slew of 15, 20 signings within the first hour or two last night. And then it's been a pretty quiet day otherwise until LeBron made his decision. We had Fred VanVleet going back to the Raptors, Glenn Robinson to the Pistons, I believe.
Can I just touch on that real quick?
Yeah.
So the Pacers decided that $22 million for Doug McDermott was apparently better over a 3-year period, though.
Right.
Than paying $8.3 million for Glenn Robinson over 2 years.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
This is why Eastern Conference teams are bad, Brian.
Yeah, I know. We weren't a fan of the McDermott contract already last night, and I feel like over time, over the coming days, we're going to grow to resent it that much more.
Yeah, I mean, it's never going to be an Evan Turner contract, thankfully.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is still technically day one, so
I know.
In free agency. We're less than an hour away from day two.
Yeah.
But we're going to look back at this free agency period and go, well, 80% of everything got done on day one. Over half a billion dollars were committed. And with LeBron now coming in at 154.
I think I saw it crossed a billion already after LeBron.
Oh, it did? Oh,
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, because... And you also had Aaron Gordon's extension. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right. So I think we're going to look back at it, and like day one was the big one, and then the rest is kind of like, okay. Like that's right. Dedicated for the restricted free agency outside of Aaron Gordon, obviously. Like the Zach LaVine and Clint Capellas and stuff like that.
Jabari Parker, yeah. I mean, Philly still has...
Oh, don't mention Jabari because you were apparently right, you doofus.
I'm the doofus. You're the...
Yeah, I am the doofus, but...
Yeah, apparently... I mean, there's still time. We don't know. But apparently Chicago has interest in pursuing Jabari Parker, so... Well,
because they love ACL tears.
Yeah, right. They don't have enough injured players on their roster.
Yeah. Hey, that ACL tear for Derrick Rose worked out so well. Let's trade for Zach LaVine, who's had one. Oh, that worked out so good. Let's you know what? Let's up the ante. Let's sign someone... who's had two, but two, like, yeah, in both, in the same knee even. Oh, same knee. So, like, let's aggravate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, compound mistakes by mistakes. That's perfect.
God damn it. I'm really excited for when they actually sign him to an offer sheet. We'll do another emergency podcast for that.
Oh, it's... No, I can't, you know what? I have to retain some level of sanity for their sake, but
fair.
Who am I kidding?
Yeah, I mean, it's really down to, like, the Sixers still have their space. It's the RFAs.
They do.
And then it's the teams like the Atlanta, Chicago, Sacramento, the teams that you thought were going to be the dumping grounds for bad salaries, but, like, there are still productive players out on the market. Tyreke Evans is still hanging out there. maybe he seems like, especially, I mean, I'm honestly grateful for the Sixers' sake that LeBron made his decision this quickly, because there was the risk that, you know, so it was July 8th in 2010, which is when he had the decision, and then July 11th in 2014 when he announced his return to Cleveland. And the only reason I remember it's in that order is because I got married the next day. I remember being with my family. my mom is from Cleveland originally, so like her entire side of the family was with me at the rehearsal dinner that night. And then the news broke, and they were all very festive, obviously. So, yeah. So it was, you know, it went more than a week. The fact we got this on day one is great for, really, it's only benefits the Sixers. Like, no other team. I guess the Cavs can move on and, like, figure out if they should move into a full rebuild, but the Sixers now can just pivot right to Plan B, and they don't have to run the risk of J.J. Redick. I mean, at this point, it feels like a foregone conclusion that he's going to come back on another one-year balloon payment, but they don't have to run the risk of losing him, you know, to another suitor, because they were waiting till July 7th or July 8th for LeBron to make a decision that seemed like a foregone conclusion.
Right.
You know, it possibly, this pursuit may or may not have cost them Trevor Ariza. Like, he signed 1 year, $15 million with Phoenix shortly after free agency opened. That seems like a deal Philly could have or should have offered had they not been in on the LeBron hunt. Again, I mean... A guy like Tyreke Evans is still floating out there. Avery Bradley, too. So there are still options. But, yeah, I'm happy that they can just move on and not have to waste a week and miss out on their Plan B guys because they were waiting for a Plan A that was unlikely to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That does lead me into the next big story that is likely to unfold is the Kawhi Leonard stuff, yeah. Mort.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think this...
And because we haven't talked about Kawhi Leonard enough on this podcast.
You know, when a top five player becomes available in a trade, you gotta really focus on him, unfortunately. And I think it's... You could go both sides on this, but how do you think LeBron committing this early to L.A., what does that do for the Spurs' leverage in these Kawhi trade talks?
Oh, they love it. They love it. Here's the thing. When the deal broke with LeBron, I had a lot of people like contacting me and saying, oh, well, then the Kawhi thing is in the bag. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works necessarily, because if San Antonio was in no rush. Like, they were in no rush to send Kawhi to the Lakers to encourage LeBron further to get there.
Right.
Like, that wouldn't make sense. For them, they would want LeBron to be the first domino to fall, because then they could squeeze the Lakers for everything they've got. Like, right now, you know, R.C. Buford is arguing with Rob Pelinka about, you know, you just got LeBron. You're definitely trying to win now, because he's 33.
Right.
We have a guy who'll help you do that, but we want a shit ton. Like, don't try to sell us off with Kyle Kuzma and like nothing else and do all right. Dang, like, right. Don't that's not gonna fly, like, yeah. We want the whole shebang. So I think it's really encouraging for the Spurs right now. What would be more encouraging was Kawhi coming to his goddamn senses. But that's a story for a different day.
Sure. And not only I think you're right that now the Lakers probably still have more incentive to trade for him than they did. I mean, they had incentive regardless, but having seen right. what happened with Paul George, especially, you can, you know, they're good. If they don't trade for him, they may be confident and say, we saw what happened with Paul George, but screw it. Kawhi is sending even stronger signals that he wants to come to the Lakers, and now we have LeBron effing James. So maybe he just really wants to play with LeBron, and no matter where he gets traded to, even if it isn't us, he's coming to us in a year, so it doesn't matter. That said, I mean, it's like, it just try to think through like the Philly and Boston angles now. On one hand, I feel like both teams have, you could argue they have both like more and less incentive to make a deal. Like, for Boston... Right. I mean, for Boston, there's a case, if they trade for Kawhi Leonard, they are now final championship favorites. If they trade Jaylen Brown and whatever it takes, salary matching-wise, and they don't have to give up Hayward, Kyrie, Horford, Tatum, if they can make that work, maybe include Marcus Smart in a sign-in trade or something, they're favorites to win the finals. If your starting five is Kyrie, Horford, Tatum, Hayward, Kawhi Leonard, you're title favorites. So... Mm-hmm. From that perspective, it may be worth giving up Jaylen Brown. But at the same time, now that LeBron's out of the conference, your favorite's to make the finals anyway. So maybe you have less incentive to trade. And then same goes for the Sixers, who, you know, you now have you're a much clearer path to the conference finals. There have been reports that Kawhi would maybe consider re-signing with the Sixers next year, and the Sixers are privately confident that he would. Jabari Young of the San Antonio Express News is one who's been kind of hinting that all day, that he has expressed a willingness to at least consider re-signing with them. So that's the pro-Kawhi trade camp. And then also, if you're the Sixers, you may now see the Celtics being willing. Like, it may turn into a bidding war between the Sixers and the Celtics. And if you're the Sixers, you may want to do whatever you can to keep Kawhi out of Boston, because you realize if he ends up there, you're effed. You're
right.
There goes your window.
So I had a thought about the whole Kawhi to Philly thing, which was discouraging if you're a Philly fan. Now, I know about the report that he might, you know, consider re-signing long-term, but can we agree right now that all reports, they are kind of isolated? It's hearsay.
Yeah.
And nothing more at this point? Okay.
Right.
Because here's a pretty bleak outlook, and this is just my own thinking here. Right now, Kawhi is just so pissed off at the entire Spurs organization.
And I kind of dread the fact that he could look at Brett Brown as some sort of extension of that because he comes from the Spurs coaching tree. And he would just go, you know what? I know that if I go to Philly, I'll have this guy who'll kind of give Pop and RC Buford some feedback on me, whatever. Like, I don't want that. I want to stay completely away from everything that, you know, the Spurs have their hands on. Which is, by the way, an entirely unreasonable perspective if he has that, which I am not advocating that he does. This is just me speculating.
Right.
But it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for a human being who has, you know, emotion.
Sure.
To think that way. So that's one thing I would probably take into considerations as well.
Yeah. And then there was, I forget who had the report, but there was a report earlier that San Antonio wanted 3 first-round draft picks. I think it was Jordan Schultz, which, no offense to him, but take that with a grain of salt just because it's not Woj, Shams, Mark Stein. But there was a report out that they wanted 3 first-round draft picks plus 2 undisclosed players. It seems like, based on Jake Fisher of Sports Illustrated, came out with the report the other day, that they've brought some packages to ownership, including Dario Saric and Robert Covington. Woj reported earlier Sunday that they are keeping Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Markelle Fultz as the big surprise. They are keeping all 3 of those guys off limits. So if they are keeping Fultz off limits, it is going to take some serious draft compensation. I mean, it's really just like, it's a Mexican standoff between the Lakers, the Sixers, the Celtics, and the Spurs. And it's just a matter of who blinks first. But like, you can really, I mean, you can make a convincing case for all 3 teams that both they should, you know, empty the chamber and go all in to try to get him now, or it may be too risky between, especially for Boston and Philly, between the flight risk to LA. We still don't know if he's healthy. With like, the reports have come out positively, and it sounds like he's going to be ready for training camp. But you better be damn sure that he's healthy and fine. He's not going to have a recurrence of that issue, because you don't want another Andrew Bynum situation on your hands where you give up multiple assets for a guy who doesn't play for you, it doesn't play all that much for you, and leaves in a year. Like, that's
right.
Andrew Bynum is what started the process, and it was a 5-year thing to get back to the point where they can get a meeting with LeBron James. You don't want to get to that point and then immediately start over again.
Well, now you have perfected the process, so
imagine. True. Maybe it'll be a 3-year process next time.
Yeah.
Sam Hinkie gets re... That's no, true. They have a vacancy. They can rehire Sam Hinkie.
Boom, there you go. I mean, we just fixed the Sixers, even though they didn't need fixing. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. This is such a tricky situation because you have, like I said before, you have emotions going into this as well. Mm-hmm. Regardless of if they're warranted or not. Mm-hmm. Like, players will make emotional decisions. That's human nature. That's fine. What you have to wonder is the Lakers, are they going to be the best fit for Kawhi? Because it seemed to me that during his last fully healthy season, he was playing more on the ball than he was ever before. He was initiating pick and roll offense. Like, he was doing a hell of a lot more with the ball and really getting accustomed to that role. Now, if he goes to the Lakers, you know, he'll have LeBron, he'll have Lonzo Ball. I don't think he's just this glorified 3-and-D guy who'll just be satisfied with spotting up. Like, I know he doesn't complain a lot, normally at least, but at least in Philly, and I get that there's a Ben Simmons and there is a Markelle Fultz, but I don't look at those guys as being as ball dominant as Lonzo and LeBron would be.
Yeah, or I mean,
and especially if you have like Julius Randle there as well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Ben probably is his ball dominant, but Fultz can definitely, assuming he relearns how to shoot, which sounds like he may or may not be this summer, he'd be able to play more off the ball than I think. At least he'd be more willing to than LeBron or Lonzo. So I agree with you there.
Right. And Kawhi would come in on the Sixers, and this is no offense to Joel Embiid, but he would be the best player on the team.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Immediately.
Right. It's not. That's not a slight to Embiid. Like, Embiid's going to be a top 10 player, but Kawhi is...
Well, tell your fan base Twitter that, because there are some takes out there, my friend.
We should have said this at the top of the episode, but I think between Lakers fans' reaction to the Paul George signing last night, to him staying in OKC, I saw some really, truly, just, like, really dumb shit from them. Like, just saying that, like, Paul George is, like, not intelligent because he just doesn't understand how contracts work, or, like, he's, you know, he's a insert feminine slur here because he doesn't want to win.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, but, like, and then I'm sure that, like, Philly fans, I have no doubt right now, I'm not looking at Twitter, but I'm sure there's that same sentiment about LeBron right now, because you could make you could make a lot of the same arguments that LeBron chose a place that is a worse short-term championship contender than Philly would have been.
That's perfectly reasonable, yeah.
We should not care. Like, NBA fans, I understand why you're upset that this player did not choose your favorite team. But, like, we have to remember, these guys have lives outside of basketball. Like, LeBron hinted at his press conference after Game 4 of the Finals. He said his family was going to weigh in on his decision much more this time than last time. His family clearly wanted to move to L.A. He wouldn't have signed a four-year deal if his family did not want to settle in L.A. He has a kid in eighth grade. He wants to let his kid, like, go to one high school. He's probably going to go to Sierra Canyon High School, like Gary Payton said. And he's going to get to flourish there because he's going to get to play with the kids of a couple other really good NBA players. And he's going to, you know, he has his own kid's future career to think about now, which he didn't necessarily have earlier in his career when his kid was, like, what, 9 and 5 the last few times he made his decision? And the same goes for Paul George. Like, if Paul George is happy to stay in OKC and he's happy to play next to Russell Westbrook, none of us should be questioning these guys. Like, we shouldn't question their motivations. Like, we shouldn't say they don't want to win a ring because they chose OKC or because they chose the Lakers. Like, it... No. I mean, even if it's true that they chose a potentially worse short-term fit or short-term championship contender, it's their lives. Who gives a shit? Let them do what they want to do. Like, if someone offered me 3 times as much money to move to New York, I wouldn't do it because I hate New York and I would never move there. And someone would say, I'm an idiot and I don't understand money. But, like, I factor in other things in my life. I don't enjoy New York. I enjoy driving. I have a dog who is very noise anxious. I wouldn't do it. So if Paul George wants to stay at OKC or LeBron wants to go to LA to, like, appease his family, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yep. Yeah. Personal motivation factors in, because one's motivation can differ from others, and obviously so. I would agree. I will say this, though. There are certain situations where you look at it and you just go, well, that was odd, where none of the parameters really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to criticize players for that, but it's fine to say, you know, I don't understand what he's doing. Right. But to go to the levels of rants that we've seen, yes, and we have to be honest here, it has been from the vast majority Lakers fans today regarding Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a lot of them had ownership, felt ownership in regards to Paul, which was very weird because he was never theirs in the first place.
Right.
Yeah, so that was unfortunate, and I'm just hoping, because your fan base can have some wild days.
Yeah,
you know, RT Armageddon, and stuff like that. Just let's just all be civil people.
Right.
I mean, that's really my key point on this.
Knock on wood, I haven't seen as much of it from Sixers Twitter about LeBron than I did from Lakers Twitter about Paul George. At least from the main people. So I hope we can keep punching high. And, if Joel Embiid posts a picture of him dunking on LeBron later, that's fine. And that's going to be funny. But, I don't think... And this is a warning.
Don't attack people.
Right. This is a warning for, especially going back to Lakers fans, for Kawhi Leonard next year. If Kawhi Leonard doesn't go to the Lakers next year, I don't want to hear how he's not a winner and how he's, like... you know, again, insert any slur you want. Like, it was really, the vitriol was out of control today. And it was, like, it's funny to see it, to see these Lakers fans melting down. But, like, at the same time, it's really shitty from a human perspective because these guys...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're still people. Like,
they have families who are online.
Right. They're not just, like, assets in a video game. Like, they have families, they're people, they have feelings. Like, we need to be better. Just be better, NBA fans.
Shout out to Cleveland fans, because I have not seen, like, big reactions to LeBron leaving them again.
Right. I think they just, like, knew.
Yeah. Like, they just took, like, a defeatist attitude towards it. Yeah. Like, just like, okay. Right. I did not see virtually anything.
Yeah, I haven't either. I think 2010, I think, just caught them by surprise so much. And then this time, the writing was just so on the wall. He won the ring in 2016. Like,
oh, yeah. Bought some goodwill.
Yeah. I mean, you can't... If you're a Cleveland fan, you cannot be mad at him for making this decision. And... Based on, I have a feeling Ramona Shelburne's going to drop like a 3,000-word article in the morning about all the factors that went into this. But I've seen some notes already. I think it was from her, or maybe it was from Tania Gongoli of the Los Angeles Times, about how LeBron met with Magic Johnson and his agent Rich Paul in his home last night right after midnight, or I guess 9 p.m. Pacific time. And one of the driving factors was LeBron respects Magic's acumen as a businessman. Obviously, he's built himself an empire in LA, but also in terms of social justice, which I thought was really interesting because LeBron has been very outspoken on that front. I mean, especially in recent years, and it's been one of the biggest contrasts between him and Michael Jordan that we've... You know, MJ had his Republicans buy shoes, and then LeBron's done his, like, the Trayvon Martin thing. I mean, he's been very vocal. His "you bum" to Donald Trump. Like, he's been very vocal about issues he feels strongly about. And I think that bodes well, not only for himself and just for social justice causes as a whole, but also for the NBA. Like, it seems like it's going to, if you have the Lakers owner and the Lakers star player now being able to be vocal about these causes, compare that to the NFL, where Colin Kaepernick still remains blackballed because he took a knee to protest police brutality. I think it bodes well for the health of the NBA, and it's going to make the NBA look that much better.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron is now on the most famous franchise in the league. And he's the most famous player. That's just going to increase his platform. I know that we have this saying of, well, if you're big enough, the market is going to find you.
Right.
Or the media is going to find you even if you're in a small market. That's true. But this is LA, man.
Yeah. This is going to be a zoo.
This is going to be a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
No pun intended with the point guard.
Right.
This game is going to have to change as well.
Yeah.
Oh, like, okay, so let's just get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. We now have a team with LeBron, JaVale, Lance Stevenson.
Oh my god.
LaVar Ball is involved. This is, I mean...
Ooh.
Whew.
Yeah.
This could go pretty south when you look at it.
I guess that's the benefit of signing all these guys to one-year deals, so if it does go south... There's minimal risk involved since LeBron signed long term, but
since LeBron has a capital B, should we just go 3 B's instead for Big Baller Brand? So it's like LeBron,
right? And does LeBron now wield his power and get LiAngelo Ball on the team?
And then his son,
Bronny Jr.
I mean, LeBron Jr., LaMelo, LiAngelo, Lonzo, like, this is a conspiracy right here.
Right.
Yeah.
LeVar is going to come back into the NBA. He's going to be like a 55-year-old washed guy.
Obviously. I mean, he could beat Michael Jordan, remember?
Right. Yeah. He's going to be their Kendrick Perkins. Just their enforcer on the bench to trip people.
Oh, God. I will say this: there are a couple Danish fans who are Lakers fans. As soon as the news broke, I shared it on the social platforms here in Denmark as well,
And there are a couple of guys who wrote me like, what the hell just happened? Like, why would he go here? Like, these are Lakers fans who are saying to me,
oh, interesting.
Why would LeBron go here? Like, like they were happy about it, but like, sure. Why would he with LeBron here being around? Like, yeah. Why would he go into this circus? Like, right. And that was really eye-opening to me. Like, even Lakers fans were like, I don't understand. I don't comprehend why a great player would come here because of LeBron Ball. I was like, okay, yeah.
You do have to wonder how long Lonzo's going to be in town. Like, yeah. I mean, yep. And our friend Mo Dockel had a really good post about how Lonzo, it could be kind of the perfect point guard to play next to LeBron. But as we talked about a few episodes ago, it's just the circus with his father. Wouldn't totally shock me if they used him in a trade to, say, acquire Kemba Walker, who's also on a one-year deal and could come off the books next summer if their Kawhi pursuits ramp up. Or they could trade, you know, they could make both deals work. They could trade Lonzo plus, I think Lonzo plus Zubac, if I remember correctly, would be just enough to make the salary work, and they'd still have Ingram, Kuzma, Hart, whatever picks you could
right
to go get Kawhi and trade for him as well. So yeah, the Lakers are gonna
have options.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it goes back to like, just because the team is not assembled in full yet, there's a long time between now and February. It would not shock me at all to see some star added to this team. Kemba seems like a very logical option, just given the, you know, I don't think they go after like a DeMar DeRozan or a CJ McCollum who's got multiple years left on his deal. I think they want, if they're not going to acquire Kawhi via trade, they're going to want to keep however much, $37 million, or I guess it'll be $32 for him. They'll keep that amount of cap space earmarked for him next summer.
So, yeah, about that, should we also be kind of thankful that LeBron went to LA when you look at like the state of the city? Because if Lakers fans had gotten like DeMar DeRozan and like Doug McDermott in free agency or something like that,
yeah,
like would they have rioted? I'm pretty sure they would have.
I mean, they would have had to log off Twitter for till they got Kawhi next year.
I think we're fortunate because, yeah, hey, you got the best player in the game right now.
Yeah.
That'll go some way. Yeah.
Right.
But to actually answer your initial question 40 minutes ago, no, I don't think they make the finals.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. But as currently assembled, I think the Warriors beat them in five. I mean, I don't think this team is that much more competitive than the Cavs last year. We'll see.
Right.
Maybe
They're better at least. Like, talent level is better. Yeah.
Right. But like, not to the point that they're going to even out against the Warriors.
Right. Oh, that has to feel good for LeBron though as well. Like, I mean, I get that it would suck not making the finals, but come on. Mm-hmm. Like 8 trips in a row or whatever.
Yeah,
he's tired.
I've been joking. Like everyone has slandered his finals record so much. He was just like, "All right, screw you guys. I'm going to make the finals this year. You can't hold it against me if I get knocked out in the second round."
But like, could you just imagine how much that would do for his longevity and his body as well? Yeah. Just maybe if you shave a month or maybe a month and a half off his season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that does a lot.
And I hope Luke Walton, if you're listening, you're probably not. You're probably drinking some sort of champagne and/or tequila right now. But please don't play LeBron 38 minutes a game next season. Please,
oh God, like, no.
Bring him back down to 34, 35. Like, keep him a little bit fresher because you've got him for 4 years. Yep. You don't want him to be damaged goods by the end of that.
And let Julius Randle handle the ball more. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. And even, even Brandon Ingram.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Just play LeBron like 32 minutes. It's fine.
Yeah.
Regular season doesn't matter.
Right. Right. Any final thoughts on LeBron and the Lakers, or should we briefly touch on the other somewhat notable signing?
I think we should touch on the others because, I'm a sad panda right now, Brian.
Okay. Yeah. We'll just do Aaron Gordon, 4 years, $84 million, re-signing with the Magic.
That was great value. Yeah,
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Orlando did something well. I'm kind of surprised.
Right.
I thought it was a typo initially. I was waiting for... Oh, no, that's not 84. That's probably 94 or something. But right. No. That was fine. But the one that hurt, Brian, reason I'm sad, Mario Hezonja.
Yeah, I like it. I
like it, too.
Yeah. Woj initially tweeted the Blazers signed him to a one-year $6.5 million deal.
And yes, did.
They did what? Because... That would have hard capped them. It would have really complicated their chances of re-signing Jusuf Nurkić. But then he corrected himself. Hezonja is actually going to the Knicks on a one-year $6.5 million deal.
And he got me. He got me because in my defense, it was 3 in the damn morning.
Sure.
So I didn't really have the cap minutia for the Portland Trailblazers specifically in my head. So I was like, this is excellent. They really needed a talent infusion, especially at the 3 spot. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the Knicks. Oh, so he'll play with Porzingis for like half a year and then bolt. Okay. I don't know.
I like it just because it'll give him a chance to rehab his value, especially since Zinger will be out for some, if not all, of the season. And they're going to need... Let's just say Tim Hardaway Jr. can't do it all by himself. And like Kevin Knox, Courtney Lee, Moutier, Trey Burke, Frankie Smokes. Like, he'll have a chance to really prove that he, whatever happened in Orlando wasn't reflective of who he is as an NBA player. And
agreed.
I'm glad for the Knicks. I should have a piece probably going out tomorrow morning about, you know, I expected them to do these one-year deals because... There's an avenue for them to carve out a max slot next season if they don't sign Kristaps Porzingis to an extension this summer, which I do not expect them to do. I would think they will explain that to him and say, we can get you a superstar sidekick if you just wait one summer. Just hold off and we'll go after Kyrie or we'll go after KD or we'll go after Kawhi next summer and see where the chips fall. But yeah, I mean, this upcoming season for the Knicks, it doesn't matter. That's the nicest way I could say it. The only thing that matters is getting Kristaps Porzingis healthy for 2019-2020. If he hits the finish line at the end of the regular season and he is on track to be healthy for training camp, the season's a success. The rest of it should be spent tanking. Look,
if we have to be completely honest about it regarding the Knicks, nothing matters until the team is being sold.
I mean, then fine.
Porzingis is back. That's great for him, but
he's
not going to have the right supporting cast because they're going to mess it up, obviously.
True. And there were rumors that leaked the other day that they were considering selling the Knicks, but that turned out to be false.
I'm so sad for Knicks fans.
I know. They had a good 3 hours of hope.
Yeah, they had, and they were really vocal about it. I saw so many wonderful pictures like people posted on Twitter, like the skies, like GIFs of the sky opening and the sun shining down, we can see light again. I won't have to live in toxic waste anymore. Like, it was just great. And then afterwards, the cloud just back again because that was just. No. Yeah, James Dolan will keep roaming the hallways, offering out his goddamn CD to free agents. I wonder if that's what sold Hezonja.
Probably. It wasn't $6.5 million.
Right. Screw the money. Your CD sounds lovely. I'll sign here. Sounds great. Yeah. That's very good. Can you play me music in the locker room before games?
That was probably what did it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Who else? Oh, well, Portland did do something today. They signed a guy who's big, what is it, shoots like Steph and is big like Clay? Nick Stauskas, the one and only, coming to Portland on a one-year minimum deal.
Nick Rocks.
Yeah. That's about all the analysis you need for that one. The Raptors brought Fred VanVleet back, 2 years, $18 million. Love that move for them. Low risk.
So I actually have a question for you, but that's we actually talked about him on our previous podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Gerald Green, Houston,
returning
for 1 year, $2.4 million. Just bear with me.
Okay.
I know Zach LaVine has more potential, but who's the better player?
Oh, man.
Right now.
I still think it's Zach LaVine, even though you hate
him. Right, but the margin.
Yeah,
but the margin.
Right. Well, you should be happy about this Aaron Gordon deal, because that took away some of LaVine's leverage. If Gordon doesn't get a max, and Gordon is a considerably better player than Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
And Zach LaVine LOL'd at 4 years 60, and Aaron Gordon just got 4 years 84. That window is narrowing.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like
it is. It was just a fun little note, because I was just looking at Green's statistical profile. I was looking, I was looking at him up on people, Basketball Reference.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of looked at it, and I remembered like his playing style. I was like, wait a second. There's something very reminiscent about this. And then I just kind of compared their stats. I was like, all right, Gerald Green is essentially just a 32-year-old version of Zach LaVine, who's aged a little bit.
Oh, man.
Those two are extremely close in, like, production.
Right, right.
Which is saying something.
I love it. I'm so here for just a summer of Zach LaVine slander from you. This is great.
Oh, I can't wait until Philly just signs him because they need to reuse their cap space.
Luckily, you can't sign a restricted free agent. You have to sign them to a contract with at least 2 years, not including option years, which is why the rumor of them being interested in Jabari Parker is most likely bullshit, not counting the fact they have a million forwards and don't need Jabari Parker if they have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Dario Saric, because Parker can't play the three. But they do need it too. They're not blowing their load on Zach LaVine. I hope. I mean, I'm going to delete this podcast if I'm wrong, because I don't want to throw it back in my face. But I think they're gonna roll over their cap space for next summer. They'll just sign the 1 year deals, and then they're gonna go after my heart, and they're gonna go right for Chris Middleton. That's my true hope. If they don't go after Kawhi, or if they don't get him this summer and he goes to the Lakers next year, they're going to throw a full max at Chris Middleton, and the Bucks would probably match it. But at least I've got 12 months to hope for Chris Middleton on the Sixers, because goddamn, would he be a perfect fit.
I love how we're basically throwing Zach LaVine, you know, to each other, and none of us really want him.
Yeah, right.
Like, and this guy's going to get like him. $70 million or something. Like, No. That should just tell you how dumb that contract is going to be, like, automatically.
Right.
Like, whoever gets him, whether it's the Kings or the Hawks or the Bulls, like, regardless, if he's getting, like, $70 million, it's just like, no, that's so bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah.
We'll see. He's probably getting signed within 10 minutes of this podcast, obviously. Yeah, right. That's how it works.
Naturally. Yep, that's how free agents are.
We just had a report here.
Yeah.
This is Devin Booker is debating a contract, rookie extension contract.
That reminds me, actually, one more thing before we go. Is it weird that Karl Anthony Towns has not agreed to a 5-year max deal?
It's the Minnesota Timberwolves, so no. Most
of those guys, like Anthony Davis, when he was up for that extension, he signed it. Like, they had a party for him. Like, the first second he became eligible, they gave him the 5-year max. They were at like a sushi restaurant, I think, and they, you know, they wild out.
Because they know how to have fun. This is Tibbs. Like, the way he celebrates is like, go down and give me 20.
Yeah, I really hope they're not screwing with him and like trying to lowball him and not give him the max. Because defensive concerns aside, if you gave Andrew Wiggins the max, you absolutely have to give Karl Anthony Towns the max. It's just, it might be overblown panic. I mean, it is only day one, but it just strikes me as strange that he's the type of guy who I would have expected to be a day one signee.
Right.
I know. I mean, Wiggins took months to sign his last season, so you're right. It could just be...
Well, he wasn't a slam dunk. Like, that's your point. Your point is Towns is a slam dunk. And should be.
Towns is a Davis.
Exactly. But maybe it's Towns
pushing a little bit back because he's looking at it. He doesn't really like to play with Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And Butler doesn't really like to play with Andrew Wiggins. Like, there is a triangle there that doesn't really work. Mm-hmm. And the coaching staff isn't really high on Towns or Wiggins in terms of their work ethic. So maybe Towns is just looking at the big picture and going, you know what? This has all the markings of a pretty shitty situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, not trying to you know, put some fire on it, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Yeah, maybe Glenn Taylor just wants to sit down and meet with him and make sure he's going to be dedicated to improving.
Before. Oh, that's right. Yeah. The will you please promise me to get better if I pay you $150 million conversation?
Yeah. Right. It worked so well the last time that he did it.
He's got to go. It really worked well. Yeah. If I ever open up my own company, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw insane amount of money out to newly hired people and go, do you promise to make an effort? Yeah, right. That's because that's how you function.
Yeah. All right. God.
Well, it's 6 a.m., Brian. Yeah. I really need to not pass out here.
Yes. So we're going to wrap up. We will be back later this week once we have some more big signings to discuss. July moratorium lifts on Friday, so nothing will become official until then, but we'll just play it by ear, and if there are any notable ones, we were planning an emergency podcast whenever LeBron happened, so here it is. But in the meantime, please follow us on Twitter, @TheNBAPod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bios, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're now being hosted on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check them out on Twitter, @AlmightyCasts. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort. Get some sleep.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. I will. I'm so tired, I don't even have a quippy comeback for once.
Blame LeBron.
I'll always blame LeBron for this night. It's horrible. Take care, man.
You too.